Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, joined always by my co-hosts, Mike Risse, Chris Epps. We're missing one of our co-hosts, Mike McGoy, today, but we're joined by a special guest, very close friend, and definitely one of the OG crypto bros, Jamal Boykin. What up, y'all?
What up, what up, man? Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back connected with the bros.
For sure. Yes, sir. Yeah, man. You know, we usually just talk about, you know, what's going on in the crypto world. We've been heavy on NFTs a lot lately, but we wanted to kind of venture away from that conversation, you know, initially today. And, you know, let's tap in with you, Maul. What's been going on with your crypto, you know, world?
You know what, Skills, man? Like, so coming into this in like 2017, I had this real passion and desire to get this to our culture, you know what I'm saying? But I look at things today, you know, with Staples Center being called Crypto.com Arena, out on the Breakfast Club today, I saw 19 Keys and some other people talking about crypto. The mass adoption is here. So in some ways it's killed, not, I don't wanna say killed my passion to, you know, express how I feel about crypto and the whole nine, but it's just, it's not the same. You know what I mean? So it's, I'm looking for a different direction in how I want to proceed with my crypto journey publicly.
Right.
Privately, I'm investing. Privately, I'm doing this and doing that. And you know, for the record, Jason and Chris and I, we've made some plays, some super dope plays, but from the my public viewing of who I am in the crypto space, I'm kind of in a gray area because there are so many crypto influencers and so many people doing it, and the word's out now. So now I'm like, what's going to be my contribution to the crypto space now is what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah. I feel that. I feel like, you know, on that note, you know, Chris has been in the space, you know, just as long, if not longer. And, you know, he just launched a project, an NFT project, Droid Heads, today. And, you know, I think for people like us who've been in the space and have experience and knowledge and understanding and obviously a network, that we have to start contributing to the space in whatever way, you know, whether that's starting a fund or starting our own projects, or, you know, continuing to educate people, maybe educating kids,
I think that's one of my biggest ones. Also. Yeah. Getting into our people and the young people, and they kind of are already, you know, aware and acclimated to what the medium is in the space.
Yeah.
I do agree with Jamal, and we've all talked about this also, about like how we kind of lessened our soapboxing of crypto, just because, yeah, there's a lot of things that feel kind of weird, Jamal, like you were saying, like, you know, the sovereignty or the benefits to the human race and economically messed up places in the world, like, kind of feels hard to do that when we know that we need a bunch of money and mass adoption means governments and banks getting into it. But then again, like, you don't want to just cut off people from the possibility of this, you know, generational wealth or building something that's, you know, better for yourself, or even earning money off of something and you being able to do what you want. It's hard to, like, yeah, to try to keep the church and state separated with this now. And I do feel that same way. Like, I don't like talking about it as much, but I do feel good about talking about my own shit or my friend's stuff, like, you know, MetaVarsity or Droid Heads or Alpha Beast, like stuff like that, or just Ethereum and Bitcoin. Like, I there's things that I feel good still talking about, and I will talk about with everyone, but I'm not going to tell them what I'm doing every day because I'm selling all that shit. And that's the other thing too. It's become interesting.
I mean, and to, you know, I think even what Jamal's talking about is, you know, even becoming a target, you know, and kind of like just being too public with, you know, what you're doing personally and your portfolio and all of that too. I think, you know, what Jamal was saying, it's like, I think that gray area that he's in, and I think a lot of us are in, is, you know, is to be, you know, taken not with a grain of salt and, you know, to be fleshed out. And I mean, our position personally and internally is what it is. It's growing exponentially. But I don't know, man. I talk about this all the time. It's like, maybe I've watched too many South Central movies, but sometimes I just think, like, I don't want people knowing that I have nice things or the amount of money that I have, or, you know.
yeah. I'm scrolling right now through an article that I should have sent yesterday or 2 days ago about a kid who got robbed, or a guy who got robbed because he was, you know, known to have a lot of crypto. And it was like for millions, and they got his wallets and like physical items too. So it's
now, the other issue is, like, one thing that I noticed whenever I make like a crypto post and I put like an Ethereum or Bitcoin hashtag, all of a sudden somebody's creating a fake profile that's mine about me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're coming at, like, Jason hit me one day like, yo, Ma, man, is this you? You know, asking about I could make this trade for you and blah blah blah. You know, so
yeah, that was crazy.
I can't even put hashtags on the post anymore because I've had this happen 3 times now, you know.
Yeah.
And they're messaging people that I really care about, and they think it's actually me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a lot, it's so many scams going on, and it's sad. You put out a post and you're gonna have like 13-15 posts saying, hey, go to my FTX trading site because this was so great, and there are people actually being scammed by it, you know.
Yeah, yep. No, I mean, that's one of the biggest parts of crypto right now. And one of the craziest things is, or I won't say biggest, but at least from a social media standpoint, when you post things on crypto, that is like something that happens almost every time, right? If you hashtag something that's crypto related, the Jamal fake profile thing was, I mean, it was disturbing, you know, to say the least, to see that they were using pictures of his mom who's passed, his kids,
man,
all of these different things. Like, there's no honor amongst thieves when it comes to this, you know, crypto phishing and scamming. I mean, I've gotten fake emails, I've gotten DMs and Discords.
My mom's getting hit up now. Yeah. Like, they're hitting up my mom.
Yeah.
I remember, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I was getting hit up, like, random Coinbase. Oh, your Coinbase account's being attacked or being compromised, and or like you're signing in right now, and I know I didn't press any button. I know I could tell by the links and the the title and stuff. You know, it's very common. It's very sad. It makes us look bad. And that's part of the thing too. It's like, part of the reason why you kind of get quiet.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, right? Is that there's so much activity that makes our community look bad. There's people, you know, who are doing, you know, janky things with trades or, you know, how many friends have we, accounts have we seen hacked where they post a story on Instagram and they say you could turn 500 and 10,000, you know, and in a day or something like that, right? And it's all of these bots and these scams that are, you know, running rampant on the, in the social sphere. And it makes us want to not get outside and front run like we did, you know, 2 years ago, and you know, get the word out to people. And like Jamal said, the word's already out. So
it was funner then, Jay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it was fun at that time when people were looking at you low key crazy. Now, you know, it's popular. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's so big, it's so present, you know, after the crypto.com arena and, you know, Snoop Dogg endorsing it and all these people, you know,
all the pro athletes.
Yeah, all these athletes changing their PFPs, you know, it's ever present now. I haven't seen the phrase "it's still early" tweeted in a long time. Because it's not anymore. And that, I guess, brings me to my first point or topic that I wanted to talk about is, you know, the big news this week was Joe Biden and the executive order that he signed in regards to crypto. We got a nice market pump off of it for a day when the there was a leak about the details from Janet Yellen that came out 2 days before he signed it. And speaking of details, there wasn't many. You know, he signed an executive order basically saying that the U.S. is going to try to, you know, get in front of all crypto activity. And I'm sure they're aware of China's, you know, CBDCs and, you know, the possibility of, you know, them being left behind or us being left behind financially by not incorporating crypto into our you know, just overall policy, financial policy as a country.
It's, you know, they have to bend to the sword. They have to kneel to the sword right now, dude. I think Yellen is the only one who's going to keep fighting it. And she's fighting it off of the same, it's all a scam stuff. Our parents send us, you know, that kind of, that's her base of her argument. This is part of what Jamal is talking about too. It's what we need for mass adoption, but feels weird. I don't like it all the way. Definitely feels like we're selling out, you know, or some, you know, it feels like a sellout for sure, but we need regulation. They're definitely going to mess with stable coins. I want to see what happens with that, which will mess with some Ethereum protocols and stuff like that. But I also think it's going to really help Ethereum and Bitcoin with the mining initiatives they have going on, with all of the ETF stuff that's going to be able to be proposed now. It's overall bullish. It's just like the same thing with legalizing weed. Like, in the end, we don't like it because our friends and family won't benefit as much, maybe in profit wise, but then we also can move around and do more, you know. It's like gentrifying your neighborhood. It's like, it feels like the same thing. It's weird. But you know what? As long as they don't say they turn it off, I'm here for it, bro. Because,
yeah, I mean, that was kind of the general sentiment, right? Is that we can't turn it off. We're not turning it off. We want to get down with the get down, you know. And they're basically going to try to implement some kind of, I don't say task force, but, you know, a regulatory body that's going to try to govern crypto and create, you know, infrastructure around it, and one that's not going to shut it down.
Which we need. I think that's the thing. Like, everyone gets worried about it, and I'm personally like, that's the only way we're going to keep going, and that's what has to happen. We had to play their games of scams and Ponzi's and money. Like, we based blockchain is profitable only because the only way to use it or get people to use stuff is because money and incentive of money. So we made coins. But with, if there was no incentive of money, the systems would just be running because we all agree to be trustless. I don't know. I like it. I'm here for it.
I find it interesting how politics and crypto really collide every single time, because if you look at every single bull market, no, the last couple bull markets were connected to the elections. Mm-hmm. You know, 2016, 2017, mm-hmm. 2019, 2020. Yes. So basically, I feel like we have this year, next year, and it's going to be another bull run, if not before. But that's been the trend for the last couple bull runs. You know, what do you guys think about that?
I think we're coupling. Yeah, we're we're becoming the standard. Like everyone's like, oh, we're going to decouple from the main, from the legacy markets and gold and whatever, you know, corn stocks and shit. But in the end, for us to go up nonstop like stocks, it's going to be the same thing. And for them to inflate, like everything with inflation is going to keep happening. It's going to keep going up slowly. And it's going to be exactly how the normal market moves in 100 years, I'm guessing. And hopefully for our pockets. It's, you know, mass adoption is, you know, it's, I don't think people realize what that is. It's, we sell out.
Right.
We're selling out.
I mean, in order to get more money, to make the market more liquid, right? Because one of the big issues that people are talking about is the illiquidity of the market right now. In order to get more liquidity, you need more users. And, you know, the government can provide that better than anybody else, but that also contradicts what the market is all about, or this market in particular. So it's going to be interesting to see this kind of back and forth between people being excited about government's response and their influence on the market and their desire to want to be completely separated from the government, you know, because right now, I think we're at a sweet spot, or we have been for a couple of years, where we're playing a, you know, like this nice little dance where they say a couple of things, but they don't really do anything. And then we go back to, you know, Wild Wild West. And it's like, eventually they're going to want to actually infringe on the market or do something that actually affects the freedom of the market. And that is going to be an interesting, you know, inflection point. And I think Jamal made a great point. The bull runs have been very closely tied to the elections. And so I guess the next question is, whoever the next president is going to be is probably going to dictate, you know, what happens in America in terms of crypto based on how they feel about it. So, you know,
we'll see. I almost feel like they're raising money for their elections through crypto. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And raising money through their initiatives through crypto. So like, no matter who the president is, it's going to be a bull run.
Right.
At the next election. You know what I'm saying? Because it was with Trump, it was with Biden, and they're opposites.
Right.
And you know about the new stadium in Miami. That's Biden's boy, FTX Stadium.
Right.
Now, FTX Stadium is Biden's biggest Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, who made FTX and Solana, or helped make Solana. He's the top contributor of Biden's campaign of, you know, what was that year? 2020? Holy shit. And I'm guessing he'll do it for the next one and the next one and the next one. And he probably ain't going to pick a side. He's probably going to be, you know, on the winning side no matter what. And
I mean, that's what happens with billionaires. They just pick the winning side.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good gambler. That's how he started too, I think.
Really?
That's how they all start, bro. Yeah. I listen to this podcast. He's the weirdest. Like, I know I'm a nerd. This is the epitome of nerd. He started off of his family was rich already, and he was just gambling, doing online poker, just like every other developer slash trader.
That's crazy.
They all do that shit, dude.
That's crazy. So I'm not alone.
Stop smiling. Stop it, bro. Yo, relax.
I'm not alone.
Jason got super happy real quick. He's on the right path.
There's a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow.
Yeah, just keep going. Keep betting.
I need a little hopium, Chris.
Big facts.
You know what I'm saying? You know what's funny about that is that I my other podcast on the Bomb Network, shout out to the Bomb Network, is called Showtime, that we're doing about the show Winning Time. And the first episode. I don't know if you guys watched it, but you know, they're talking
about, I missed that.
Oh, come on. My man Jamal with the Laker ring, the 2020 Laker ring.
This just an audio podcast, but
yeah,
I can't wait.
For all y'all listening, he just flexed his 2020 Lakers championship ring. Jamal was one of the coaches for the Lakers when they won the title a couple of years ago. Dr. Jerry Buss was a notorious gambler, and I didn't know that. He was a poker player. And he was known for playing, you know, in high stakes poker games. He played in the World Series of Poker multiple times. You know, because the Lakers is like, is known as a quote unquote family business, but you know, he's a self-made billionaire. But part of that self-made aspect is he was a gambler. And so it's interesting the amount of gambling that these guys do, a lot of these billionaires, even on the way up, you know, because a lot of it you think, oh, okay, maybe they're super, you know, fiscally square, you know, but no, they take risks.
That's how you get fiscally squared, it seems.
Right.
From what I've seen, bro, it's every single person that's made a lot of money in crypto on a podcast, I hear their interview, they all start from digital poker. They all play digital poker. Yeah. I was playing digital poker in college. I was playing digital poker and my parents. Yeah, it's a lot of digital poker players.
That's funny because actually the game
on the gambling with the crypto, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, but it's funny because poker is
that's
actually
how I got back in.
Yeah. Poker was the game that I gave up that I probably should have stuck to because I was a lot. Poker is a game you can control how much you win and how much you lose. And like sports betting, which is what I, you know, take part a lot in now, you know, somebody else determines the outcome of, you know, whether you win or lose. But I was actually really good at
DraftKings.
Yeah, I was actually really good at poker when I was younger, and I just stopped playing. I think I lost. You know what it was? I went to Vegas one time. It was the only time I've ever played poker in Vegas, and I lost. I think it was like $800, and maybe less than 10 minutes. I was like, and I literally quit. I haven't played poker since then. Like that was enough to just make me give up cold turkey. And it's funny because I've lost way more than that playing sports gambling, I don't know. Poker is an interesting psychological game for billionaires to play because not only are you in control of your own stack, but you know, you're betting against the psychology of somebody else, which is what a lot of people do when they make, you know, real estate deals, which is, you know, also Jerry West was in the real estate.
Jerry Buss, sorry.
Also, if you're trading shit coins.
Yeah, shit. Exactly. You're trading against the psychology of the market, right?
Yep, more NFTs. Yeah, you got to be like, okay, well, I see this volume pump right here, but this is probably the exit pump because it's a fake, it's a bluff, and I'm going to call that bluff and sell it. Shit like that. Bing bong.
Bing bong, motherfucker.
Yeah, or I hope so. Hopefully you got it.
Man. The market is looking looking like a nice little accumulation time. I was looking at some token prices.
Exactly. This is the accumulation year, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. That's what I'm saying. I think we got the slow upwards. It's going to look bad / boring to people on the outside or just getting their toes in. But I think we're going to just keep it slowly going up.
Like boring is good.
Yeah, it is good. It sucks, but it's good. Just like my project right now, it's not as hyped up, and we didn't sell it right away. But usually, when you sell it right away, you go up, you go down just as fast, if not faster.
Let me ask you this, Chris: like, what is your involvement on like Discords and pushing it through the underground of crypto?
I'm just now getting acclimated to that. I'm in, you know, 200 Discords, dude.
You said 200.
I just filled up. Yeah, I have the Nitro account.
Damn.
And I just filled that up yesterday or 2 days ago. I had to delete some. I'm in so many and read so much of them, but I never really was in the communities as much until making this project. Most of the stuff I'll talk in a lot are my private groups, which is like a group of a few of us, or a project or two that I'm really interested in, and I see people that I know off of Twitter in. But as of like this last week, I've gained a huge appreciation for social media and marketing and how important Discord is to NFTs and crypto. It's a lot of freaking work. My friend of ours, Vince, you know Vince, he's like the community manager for Droidheads, and it's like taking care of a baby. It feels like, except the baby is no, it's like five babies.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not
it's
one.
Like, well, it's a lot more. Actually, having a kid, a baby, is probably easier than taking care of a community Discord on your own.
Yeah, and it's like
I'm guessing. Like, I don't know.
right. You know, as somebody without children.
Yeah,
but I feel like the Discord community just has an insatiable appetite. Like they're always looking for the creators, the main people, to be in the Discord talking, mm-hmm. giving them some kind of, you know, alpha, or telling them what the next play is with the, you know, the project. And everybody just wants their bags pumped. Yep. You know, they don't really care about the actual whatever, as long as it's some news that will make the price of whatever your token or your NFT go up. I think that kind of reminds me of like the conversation we were having last week about, like, you know, Discords and the toxic positivity, and it's all just rooted around people wanting their bags pumped. I think I don't know, maybe you guys can dispel that. Yeah,
I think it's half and half. You know, it's a good amount of both. You can lie yourself into believing into something, as we all know. But also, bro, like, it's sometimes the project is fun and it's cool and you want to be a part of it, and the meme is funny and it lasts for a week and it dies. And sometimes you are just there because you know it's going to pump. And there's most of those Discords I've been in and haven't talked to, it's because I sold the coin or not in it, but I still believe in the project. It's hard to it's a gray area for sure, because right now I'm realizing how much I fucking need that shit, bro. I need all the toxic positivity right now. I need all of the shilling, all of the funny little annoying memes, but that's not what we want, and that's not what most projects I think that I and Mike and most of us I think are into or have seen are really about. Because yeah, numbers are always good, but I'd rather have it lasts long than just go up right away,
right?
Sure. And That's what a lot of that stuff is about. All that hype is about going up, not about what's happening in the next year. Like, right. The next year isn't quick enough for people to make profits in crypto.
Next week sometime.
Yeah, I need some in the next 8 hours.
Right.
Yeah, we have all type of different communities, right? Tell me something about your community, Chris.
Ours right now is small. We just got a bunch of people on our Discord last night because we didn't really have a marketing plan First, we wanted to get our art down and make sure we work when we come out. Like, personally, I've seen too many launches, flop because the mint had an issue or whatever. So we stepped to getting our friends and family in the Discord. Right now, there's like 30 people. How many people are online in the Discord? It's like 30 people online. Yeah, 30 people online, like 300 offline, whatever. We don't have much. But our community is, super tight right now. In the next month or so, we expect it to grow tenfold as we like reveal what's going on. We have 4 other collections coming. We have a bunch of like media and partnerships with AR, VR companies and some endorsements coming in soon, but we wanted to make sure we're out first and working first, and not giving people a hope of joy and getting a whitelist and selling early, blah blah blah. We want people to discover our project, and so slowly we're going to get these people to stumble across their story. And I think that's the best way to do it. Start with the people you know, keep it close,
and then grow out.
Scale out.
You ever have that moment where you're like, damn, I'm hungry, but I don't want to go out to eat. It is way too expensive, and I don't know what to make because I'm not really into cooking. Guess what? It's real easy. It's real simple. I got a solution for you. HelloFresh. They deliver pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, so you get convenience without skimping on quality. You skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you the wait in the long lines and ensuring you don't waste money on excess food. Also, 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. Let me say that again. 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality, and you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. It's money back in your pocket. All right, so to review: A, great food; B, less expensive; C, less expensive than even if you went grocery shopping yourself. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less. 30 minutes or less. I'm talking about right now, I'm recording this at noon. By 12:30, lunch is served and it's fire. Come on now. You know I did it. I don't do this thing where I read the ad like, oh, what do you want me to talk about? I'll say whatever. I got to live it. I got to experience it. And I did. I had the beef tenderloin and cheese fondue. Woo-wee! Fire. Fire. I've got leftovers in the fridge right now that I'm about to destroy. That's right. Those 30 minutes that I was going to take to make a meal, I lied. Not making a meal right now. Eat my leftovers. But guess what? Tonight, dinner, we back at it. So make sure you're doing your due diligence. Make sure you're getting your HelloFresh living right. Save you time. Save you money. Make sure everybody going crazy in the house. Go to HelloFresh.com/bomb16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's right. It's HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, it's America's number one meal kit.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got 2 cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise, but maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that
out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
I feel like now's a good time for Jamal to kind of give us his backstory on how he got into crypto. You spoke a little bit about it on the recorded show that we did with Baron and Bobby and Chuck and Jesse and Nolan. But yeah, I mean, just give us your crypto journey, Jamal.
Yeah, no doubt. So like my crypto journey really started actually in 2009. I had an internship at Morgan Stanley when I was at UC Berkeley, and they had like, first of all, they made us sign like these like NDAs that we couldn't invest in what we were learning in at the time, because we were getting like inside information working at this internship. But basically there was like a top 10 things. It had like oil, gold, gas, and like the top 10 predictions that they had of investments that would be great in the future. And Bitcoin was number 10. And I asked my boss at the internship at Morgan Stanley, like, what do you feel I have $1,000 from working here. Like, what should I invest in? He told me that you should really look into Bitcoin. He made me read the white paper in 2009. So, but I didn't do it. And so much time passed and nothing really, it didn't come back up to me. I kept feeling like I was too late. And then in 2017, while I was living in Amsterdam, a friend of mine was talking about XRP. He was talking about Ripple. And the way that he talked about it, I was like, wow, I need to get back into this. And I invested in Ripple at that time in 2017 while living in Holland. And then I got into a Facebook group that was just bouncing ideas off about cryptocurrency. And there was this guy that was like, hey, buy this. It's going to go up 100%, right? And it would go up 100% in like 3 hours. Like in 2017, it was all about ICOs. Mm-hmm. So there are these ICOs you can get into. And on the first day, like you literally could double up, triple up, quadruple up, you know, so it was really exciting. And me and this guy formed a really good relationship and we ended up starting a company in Amsterdam called Followcoin. He had a marketing company, but I felt like, hey, like, why don't you turn this marketing company to a crypto company? And that's how was the beginning of Followcoin. And my role in it was to come on and, you know, help raise funds for the company. And one of the coolest things that happened was through a mutual, my sister's ex-boyfriend had a good relationship with Nipsey Hussle. And he was helping me already raise money for Followcoin. And then he introduced Followcoin to Nip. And, you know, I had my first conversation with Nip was about an hour. Jason's heard it. I sound crazy like a mug, like going crazy talking about Followcoin and crypto is the future or not. But Nip was so intelligent, man. And he asked me, you know, I'm explaining to him what crypto is and what the company is. And he's like, what do you need from me? And I'm like, it'd be extremely impactful. He came out here, flew, met with the team, blah, blah, blah. By the end of that conversation, you know, between Nip and Black Sam, they sent their plane ticket that they were flying out there in 3 days. So it blew my mind, you know. And Followcoin was really ahead of its time. We had an app in the App Store. It was one of the top crypto apps. We had over 60,000 users on the app. And what Followcoin basically was, it bridged the gap between traders and novice. So we had a working app that allowed traders to basically post their stats and their trades. And, you know, people who were new to crypto could follow them and could follow their trades and make money. And the long term of it was that these people were going to be able to allocate money to these traders and whatever trades they made, you made. Since then, I've seen other companies create it and do very well with it. I'm proud to say that we had that app back in the day and that, you know, a part of Nipsey Hussle's legacy is in crypto. You know, I was talking about a Breakfast Club interview I saw today, but back in 2017, 2018, Nip was on Power 106 on the Breakfast Club on, he was in Forbes talking about crypto. And I'm happy to say that, you know, I played, you know, a little role in that. But Nip was just ahead of his time, super intelligent. And I think the cool thing about this podcast and podcasts like it is when you can take something that people see as so complex and be able to break it down so everyone can understand it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, from there, once Nip passed, so and with the market crash and everything like that, I got out of it, got into coaching, ended up winning a championship with the Lakers. And then it was COVID. And then I wanted to get back into crypto. And that's when me and Jay Skills linked back up. And to this day, you can still check out, you know, the e-course that we put out. Right. That's basically the six crypto commandments. It's something that I showed Jay Skills the email, but it was something that I developed with Nip back in the day. So it's just like rules to the game in crypto. We went literally through a Coinbase tutorial, A to Z. This is how you invest. This is how you get started. This is how you even put your name and your ID, all of that, you know. But that
ATM.
Was really my
ATM video. True, yeah.
My true passion was always, I felt like, you know, financial literacy is key, right? But you have to be up with the times. And this crypto game is, I feel, financial freedom, especially for Black people. So educating people about crypto has always been a major, major passion of mine. That's why I was just saying, like, seeing how massively adopted it is now, some of my fire has gone away because I don't feel like I need to anymore. I feel like it's out. And if you don't get it, like,
you're right. That means
you're shooting yourself in the foot. You feel
that
me?
Means the video that we made in some form or fashion had some sort of impact.
It worked.
Either it worked or it predicted the future or both. For those that don't know, I'm Jay Skills, by the way. I know for the people that listen, I'm Jason Madison on the podcast, but it's AKA Jay Skills. I was a producer and a rapper at one point in time, still a producer. Yeah.
That album cover, that was good. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. So, I mean, what a great journey. Also, if you guys want to look up the video on YouTube, Nipsey Hussle Invest in Cryptocurrency, that's when Nip was there, basically meeting with Jamal's company, signing a deal, explaining his thoughts and views on crypto. It's got over 1 million views on YouTube, so you guys should check that out for sure.
It's just amazing how impactful that video is. I remember watching that shit back then, like when I was working at Sony. I remember watching it afterwards, like 2 years ago when Corona started, when I was microdosing and remembered I had Bitcoin and started gambling with it. I rewatched it then before I met Jamal, like the next year or the end of that year. And then realizing, like, oh, this is the guy who produced that, who made that video. He went to go meet him. And, oh, you're muted.
Can I tell you something cool about that?
Yeah.
So check this out. Like, Nipsey Hussle is my favorite rapper. Nipsey Hussle and Dom Kennedy. I'm living overseas. You know what I mean? I played in 8 countries overseas. So listening to Nip and Dom is like feeling like home, right? So Nip says, hey, I'm coming out there in 3 days, right? And y'all know me. Like, I'm a super hyped individual, right? I couldn't sleep. Like leading up to that call with Nip, and the day before I talked to Nip, he had just announced that Victory Lap was done. Yeah. So I'm feeling like everything I did in my life was leading up to this point, because I knew if we had Nip, we can get this to the masses, because everybody respected Nip, right? I had gone 3 days without sleeping, and I had just become vegan at the time, so I really wasn't eating well either. I ended up passing out in the streets in the by the offices in Amsterdam. You know what I mean? Some people found me. They got me right. I know this sounds wild, but you know how, like, crypto was so crazy at that time. There were investments I were making that were just going astronomically crazy. So it was hard for me to sleep. And I just had a son. But the point is, so Nip is out there. And the reason I'm not in the video is because I went to my mother-in-law, who is a psychologist. And I said, listen, I can't sleep. I need help. I got Nipsey Hussle coming through the town. I can't be out here, you know, out of my mind. I need help. And she took me to a psych ward. Literally a psych ward, right? She takes me to this psych ward. And I walk in there. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody before y'all watch this video on cryptocurrency. Because Bitcoin is the future. And if you're not investing in Bitcoin, you don't know what Bitcoin is, you can't understand me. I sound like a crazy person.
And they literally had Bitcoin, you committed.
And that's the literally like had $2,400, right? Yeah. I'm like, Bitcoin's going to $10,000. So if you invest right now, you're going to make three times on your money. You need to get in it. And they're just like, what's wrong with this dude? And the psychologist, she's not listening to me. I'm like, what type of psychologist are you? I'm like, you talk. You need to listen. Like, I was going crazy, right? So then they take me to like this psych place and they literally tell, they had me locked up there for 3 weeks. My dad had to come and really? Get me out. And they did no psychology. They just gave me drugs. And like, yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but like Nip came all the way to Amsterdam. The whole time he's like, where's Jamal? Like, that's it crazy, was like, bro. It was insane to me. And it really hurt my heart that like,
yeah,
you couldn't I link
didn't
up
get
with
that him. Chance with him. Cause yeah. he came out there because of our conversation, because of the fact that, you know, I'm Crenshaw too. You right. know what I'm saying? It was home team. Invested. He says it in the video. Like, yeah. yo, it's home team. It makes sense for us coming together. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew, yeah. he already knew like some of who I was. So to not have been there, ultimately, I just think it wasn't meant to be because, you know, the company wasn't as solid as I thought it was, you know, through the CEO and then, you know, with the market crashing and everything like that. But
yeah,
I'm happy, though, that Nip was able to put on the record his and show his intelligence, his wisdom, and his genius, and being able to understand cryptocurrency and break it down for everyone else to understand it.
Yeah, no, that video is a staple, and I get referenced to it. People tell me about it all the time. I'm like, I've seen the video. I know a lot more about the video than I thought I did now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an excellent backstory on that video, because yeah. it's so powerful. Of course, the backstory has to have a lot of depth and intrigue. It's almost like a movie in of itself, like them coming Man. Out there from, you know, like how many times did Nipsey Hussle go to Amsterdam? You know, like not a, like he traveled and Nip is well traveled, you know what I'm saying? And him traveling out there to see somebody else from his neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Halfway across the world. And it's like, then you had all of this going on because y'all were both so convicted by crypto, you know, like,
I'm getting chills, Zay, just thinking about this. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you. I'm getting chills thinking about this because it would have been different too if I were there, right? Because mm-hmm. there's a city in Holland called Arnhem. I was going to take Nip to Arnhem. Arnhem is the largest per capita acceptor of Bitcoin. So in 2017, you can go to Arnhem and you can do everything in Bitcoin. And I had already done it.
Yeah.
Hotel, gas, food, Burger King. You could buy all that in Bitcoin. So we were going to make a video like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, unfortunately that wasn't, you know, able to happen with me not being there, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm just so like the other cool part about Nip too, you know, and Black Sam is also a genius, right? And
of course,
I remember like in the negotiation, and this part wasn't on the video, but with Black Sam, I'm like, hey, listen, you know, we don't want you guys to come on as just like, and then like, a representative ambassador. We want you guys to be owners, right? Mm-hmm. And we're willing to give you the ownership or you can buy into it, but the choice is yours. And Black Sam was like, man, what's the price on ownership? Because we want to have real ownership. Yep. And they got on the plane and they brought it in cash.
Yeah.
Like some real ones.
Yeah, like
literally
that.
Brought it in cash. So
no, that's how official they always moved, you know, like I knew Nip for a long time and knew Black Sam for a long time, spent a lot of time with them in the store, just, you know, traveling with them, traveling around the country, like, or traveling with Nip, at least not with Black Sam. But yeah, they always moved as official as you would want people to move. You know what I'm saying? Like with all their actions, all their activities, it was always like A1, you know, like Nip would do verses for people in different states, people he didn't know, but that, you know, if they would hit him up type thing. So it was always just, you know, everything lined up with what he said he was on the record and who he was in person, you know. It always matched up. So yeah, hearing that story about crypto, it wasn't a surprise to me because I knew how genius he was, you know what I'm saying? And he is, like, and when you have that, you could kind of understand how the world moves, you know. And I felt like he had that better than most people.
Yo, Skills, I was convinced that Nipsey Hussle was a huge part of the reason why Bitcoin at that time went from 2,400 to 2,000. Like, for real.
To 10,000, you mean?
Because he was the first entertainer. There were a lot of entertainers like, okay, 50 Cent did the album, Paris. There were all these entertainers. Floyd Mayweather was involved at the time. Mm-hmm. But Nipsey was the first person to articulate it,
right?
What it meant.
Yeah.
Articulate the future and what this cryptocurrency, digital currency thing is going to mean. And
still one of the only
that
few
watch Nip that don't, may not give him his credit, but like Nip was like, man, I'm gonna take this to Jay-Z, I'm gonna take this to Diddy. Like, he was hype, man. He brought this to a lot of people, man. And we were able to educate a lot of people on crypto back in 2017, and I'm proud of that. Like, Nip had me on the phone with Jadakiss. I'm not trying to name drop, man, but like, yeah, it was something else, man. And it was cold too, because back then, like, I put a lot of things in my stories like I do now about crypto, and like Nip will watch all my stories, and then I see him in an interview and he mentions something, but like, man, did he get that from my story? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, because my stories were like a CNN for crypto, like the news, but like
that's dropping that alpha.
It blew my mind.
Yeah, nah, for sure, man. I think that connection is something that a lot of people didn't know or didn't understand. And sometimes it takes one of those, like, you know, Tesla, Edison type of minds to really like explain something to the masses, you know?
And I honestly believe though, there's something about like Nip's association with 60s and trust. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like everybody just trusts Nip.
Yeah.
Like he say something, like people respected it differently than Floyd Mayweather. They respected differently than these other celebrities. I felt like when people saw Nip in it, it like scared people. Like, I need to be involved in it.
Yeah. Well, when you see somebody with that,
I don't even talk about how much we raised. We raised a good amount in three months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of that was Nip.
Right. But when you see somebody that like moves in that world and commands that type of respect in that world, you know, and is able to exceed at other worlds, they are going to garner that type of respect. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, not the same, but it's similar to an athlete who's successful in that world and then does it in business. So Magic Johnson or somebody like that. It's like you've already seen them dominate another world. Obviously, the Indian culture is its own, you know, it has its own mystique to it. And being in LA and being one of the, you know, biggest gangs ever, that's, you know, it says a lot when you're able to advance through the ranks of any field, but that, and then being great at rap and also, you know, having his independent mind, man. He's just a special one of a kind, you know, type of individual. It's hard to make it here anyway. You know that, you know what I'm saying? As a hooper.
Right.
And Mike and Chris know that as well. It's like, make it in Los Angeles is it's a minefield in the first place. And so by the time you get to the top, you can see everything. You know what I'm saying? You didn't make it in no, like, this isn't Wichita. This isn't like, any, you know, some, a small town or something where you don't, you've cycled through a life cycle 50 times by the time you're 25. What he said?
was that the Interstellar down here? It's like,
yeah, it's like 7 years for every hour in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he said it in a rhyme. He said, wondering why niggas is 20 and got white hairs. You know, like that was part of his ethos. He understood, like, hey, yeah, once you make it to the top of this hill, you could see everything. And cryptocurrency was just one of the things that was on the rise that, you know, his business mind allowed him to calculate. Like,
the other cool part too with Nip, like, you know, Nip was really cool with Gary V. You know what I'm saying?
I have a video
on my Instagram right now with Nip and Gary V basically talking about the metaverse.
Right.
They're talking about like contact lenses where it's like Tupac sitting in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, Gary V, he put together a group of people and told him about the NFTs that was going to be cracked. And Nip would have been a part of that, man. I feel like this man would have billions today, fam. You know what I'm saying?
I agree, bro. The
would have billions today based on how early he was and how intelligent he was. It saddens me to think of it, because with Nip having billions, it wasn't just going to be about him. He was going to give it back to our neighborhood. You feel me?
Yeah. And if he had it in crypto, it wouldn't be dug up. It wouldn't have to have Black Sam dig it up out of the backyard.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Solves that problem immediately.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, he would have been a staple in this market. Like, yeah, it,
shoot, yeah. I mean,
had him on the show, hopefully.
Of course, the Crenshaw mixtape was the NFT.
Oh yeah, really,
that was one of the original concepts of what an NFT is.
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
he gave it away for free as a mixtape, and yeah, if you wanted the physical token of having it, then you paid $100.
Yeah,
and it, you know, hopefully
and people paid. Yeah. Everyone paid. Everyone, oh, wow. like I remember, like people, we were buying it just because.
Yeah, and it evolved to mailbox money doing it for $1,000, and so who's to say it wouldn't have evolved?
Wu-Tang doing it for.
Right. Yeah, they sold like their album for millions to Martin Shkreli, but yeah, that he was one of the first ones to think in that way about product. You know what I'm saying? And the value of a product and what my audience is value, you know, and proud to pay, all of that. It fell in line. So yeah, the cryptocurrency ideology was already something that, you know, he was keen on. And that's the thing, is crypto is kind of an evolution of money, right? And it's giving money.
Let me tell you, my bad, did I cut you off?
Nah, go ahead, bro.
Nah, I could tell you, like, this how big of a Nip fan I was, man. After the Crenshaw album, I went, I made this big art piece. I don't know if you've seen my art, Mike. You know what I mean? Mike's a cold artist. But I basically went to Home Depot and I got like this big piece of wood. I took $100, I cashed it out, I put it in ones, and I made like what looked like a huge $1 bill. You know what I'm saying? And I painted Nipsey's face over it. I went to the Marathon store, like, yo, where's Nip at? I'm trying to give this to him, you know what I mean? And it was dope. I was able to give it to him before he passed, you know, but it was literally $100. And it was like, this is me buying the Crenshaw mixtape. But that inspired a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
That Crenshaw mixtape. Like, that was such a player move. And, you know, I remember, I think he got it from some book that he read that he put down the first chapter.
Oh, you know, right. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I don't remember the title of it, but yeah, he did. Mentioned that he got that concept from the book.
Jonah Berger, what is that? That's the author, Jonah Berger.
Basically, somebody was on $100 cheesesteak in Philly, and Oprah was buying all these people. He was like, "Oh, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sell $100 for the mixtape." And that's what this
is. Is it contagious?
Digital.
Is it contagious? Yeah, contagious. Contagious by Jonah Berger. Why things catch on? Yeah.
Cool.
That's why every joint head is 0.1377 Ethereum, because it's worth it. And, you know, in a year, it's going to be worth 10 Ethereum.
Man, Chris, I'm just shilling, boy.
Even to like the NFT point, and we were talking about NFTs last week and hedge funds, you know, their kind of criteria of investing in NFTs is a lot different than, you know, just PFP art. But it's like, you're not just buying cheesesteak, you're not just buying an album. Like, you're buying into a ethos, a mission statement, an intellectual property, or you're buying into a technology. So it's like, Nipsey understands that. Like, all the, like, really genius people understand, like, beyond face value of, like, whatever they're selling someone, behind it is a lot more depth and content that you, that the consumer is a part of, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
That's what Nipsey represents, man. Like, he represents like that freedom, that independence, that courage.
Fuck the middleman. Fuck the middleman.
Fuck the middleman, man. That's
right. The bank is the middleman.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Mailbox money. I want it straight to me.
That part,
yeah.
So that was, you know, man, he has so many wise ways of moving through the world in a business sense, and, you know, just a professional sense, intelligence, blackness, all of it. Like,
and it wasn't all perfect, and I think that's what, you know, people should take too, because I remember being in the studio when you were filming them for LA Is My Playground, and he had all these plans on the whiteboard that those specific plans manifest, you know, in the form that, you know, he was communicating them, you know, like, we're going to be
video. It was like for a whole nother album.
Yeah, it was for South Central State of Mind, which never came out. Yeah.
So,
as with any artist, right? Like
he was also that. He speaks to that. Like my path hasn't. I'm not like perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's part of his appeal as well, is that we saw a lot of the struggles in his, come up and where he was.
He wasn't afraid to make a mistake though.
Not at all.
So like Jay Skills, this. Like I've tried to put a lot of athletes on, a lot of entertainers on with Crypto and they're afraid of it, right? Yep. They weren't afraid. And that's what I respected most. Like, he was able to, he put his name behind Crypto, but like when he passed, man, I remember there were people in the Crypto community, he was a god, man. He was a Crypto god, and whenever I get the opportunity to talk about it, I do, man, because it took a lot of courage to do what he did. He didn't know that Bitcoin, he got in, he didn't know it was going to go to 20,000 or he didn't know it was going to be, but he believed it. He didn't care about the price. He believed in what it stood for. You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's what we should be like. Someone said something the other day that really resonated with me, right? If you could own a piece of Manhattan, right? Let's say we could all own a piece of Manhattan. Will we care about the price of it on a daily? Or will we just be trying to get as much of Manhattan as we could?
Right.
Accumulate as much as we could.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
like so, like, instead of, like, looking at these, like, what I could tell what Nip was, he liked the fact, like, oh, no banks? Oh, so if you want to operate with money without banks, this how you could do it? I fuck with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There were principles about crypto he just fucked with. And that is how I feel everybody should be with crypto. Like, looking at the prices on the daily going to stress you out. You're not going to have sleep. Well, and that's why I got this from Nolan Smith. Dollar cost average, man. $28 a day, $10,000 a year. Is one of the best ways to invest in crypto. You know what I'm saying? Because instead of having to worry about those price points every day, over time you win. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still trying to educate in this little moment, but I just hate how it becomes so much about the price when it's really about the tech and what it stands for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, man. That yesterday's price is not today's price is like the staple of my vocabulary in the last few months. And it's hard to, forget about that when you're in the moment, when it's our wallets, but I think also it's getting those calluses so you are used to it. Like, a lot of these people aren't used to it. We're used to it. All four of us have seen our net worth go negative 80% and then go back up 200%, in like a month. And so we're
for the viewing audience, between me, Skills, and Chris, yo, we got like some real, like I'm talking like we've woken up and it flipped six figures. You know what I'm saying? On some trading shit.
Yeah.
And win or lose, I don't care. The experience of that was fire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like yo, Skills, man, let's run this play. You know what I'm saying?
And much rather
wake up to another 50,000, like that's real.
That's why Jamal ain't letting me talk. I know you much rather have that Bitcoin right now, though.
Nah, you know what though?
Nothing could be truer, Mike. Nothing could be truer.
I'm not mad at it because
you can't be mad at it. Just said you much rather have that Bitcoin.
Come on, exactly.
That's a fact. But you know what I was thinking the other day? Like, real rap, right? If you're just like me, my mentality was always to save and accumulate for my kids, right? If I'm not using it, what does it really matter, right? So, like, I got into a situation, like, we pay for our wedding with Bitcoin. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
We had one location that rained so hard in L.A. that week that they said, you can't have your wedding here. So we had to get a new wedding venue on the spot. And banks was closed. And we were able to pay for the venue with Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? It was like, man, should we cash out? I'm happy we did because the shit low-key went down after. But the whole point is, let's talk about cashing out. There needs to be cashing out.
Right.
You just can't sit on this
out.
Shit.
Stable out, at least.
Yeah, you got to stable out.
Stable out.
Explain it. Everybody don't know what that means. Explain it.
You know, we've talked about stable coins on the podcast a few times now, but now we can just buy USDC coin, that coin that everyone sees on Coinbase. It's like, oh, it's a dollar, and it's going to keep going up probably because it's so cheap, and they hit you up about it, you know. We can just cash out. If you really want to cash out and you're afraid it's going to go down, people, just turn your Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever shitcoin you got into USD, USDT, or DAI. These stable coins are going to stay to a dollar. And then if you want to buy back, you can buy back. And if you want to cash out the stable coins, bro, you can put them on your Coinbase card or your crypto.com card and still use the USDC coin. It's safe. It's, you know, you're holding dollars. You don't have to leave the crypto system.
Right. It's the taxability factor. The governmental tax that you would incur by transferring X amount of dollars into your bank account, and also the taxability factor of whatever the fee is when you convert from a coin into fiat and then have to
put it in your bank.
So this saves you presumably a couple hundred or a couple thousand dollars probably a year, depending on how much you're dealing with.
No, that's true.
Yeah, that's my hope too. Yeah. But also, that's one thing, Jamal, I'm glad you talked about, is cashing out. I think that's another thing we learned over the, especially with that.
Take profits. Jesus Christ.
I mean, I say it right now, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it, people, on one or two plays in the next month.
And my thing is, like, I would have rather just spent the money on other shit. Let a fucking take a profit. Like, yeah, I would have rather just took the profit
and bought a car.
Yeah, bought a car, went on
bought
another
new
trip.
Eyes. Look at my fucking glass. Like, I need new eyes.
Went on another trip, bought another painting, like, did anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anything.
Hey, I wish we was buying NFTs.
That's what I really wish. I wish I could have took a profit and bought a CryptoPunk, and then I would have just been fine. You know what I'm saying?
But once again, skills, it ain't too late, and I don't want to be like, we can do it again, you know,
what
I
mean? And we will.
It's still early.
No, but it's not still early. But here's the thing, right? And this is the issue with like toxic positivity and like telling people that Santa is real, because eventually you got to realize that you're Santa and you have to pay the bill. Like, now we know that, so like the rest of the people don't know that yet. The ones who are early, who just got into this, don't know what the bill is yet. We've already paid the bill, so we have to take our knowledge and now build, you know what I'm saying, and build on our education and what we've learned, you know. Right. This podcast is part of that, right? Like, I took my pain and frustration and whatever, my lack of discipline, and like realized, okay, I need to be disciplined in something that I actually do and related to crypto. And so whatever that is, we all have to do it. And that's going to be the fruit of our participation in this, you know, evolution.
That's why I stopped trading and started building Droidheads.
There you go.
Droidheads NFT.
Right.
So, yeah. So with that, we building. Me and my niggas building. Episode 7. It's been great. Thank you, Jamal. Thanks, Chris. And Mike, our other Mike is in Hawaii. Hopefully he'll be back next week.
Hey, this was a great show, bro. Yeah, this is a great show.
Yeah, coming back. Yeah.
And all praise to Neighborhood Nip Hustle, man. Nip Hustle the great.
I think we know what the title is. We know what the title is, right? I already know what the title is. I was thinking that like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, man.
Peace and love and respect to Nip Hustle the great, man. One of the greatest people to ever live. The greatest person I ever met. Incredible guy. RIP, we love him forever.
RIP. Man, real rap.